Worry. Everybody worries somewhat. Some people are labeled as worry warts. They worry so much, you get called a worry wart. And those worry warts look at the people who don't worry and say, man, they're way too laid back. You know, so you look at it as, well, some people do worry more than others, some not. But in some sense, all of us have some type of worry. Well, we need to look at the word worry. What is this worry that we all have something inside of us? The dictionary meaning of worry is to strangle, to choke, a disquieted uneasiness of mind. Can any of us relate to any of those when worrying? Strangle. Okay, man, I can picture some of these things when we're worrying and we're just overcome with worry. Yeah, I can sometimes have that. To choke. How about disquieted uneasiness of mind? Where is our mind? As pastor's talking about in Sunday school class. You know, we get off the scriptures, we get off the things that are true, and we just focus on things that are right here and now, and we get the uneasiness of mind. Our mind just wanders. We control our minds. We're not thinking of anything to do with scriptures at all. We're allowing our own self-centeredness, things that we can control, to enter our mind and just overwhelm us. One commentator puts it this way. Worry immobilizes, in talking about concern, and the difference between worry and concern, worry immobilizes you. Concern moves you to action. I love that, because there's a difference here where we picture this worriness of just grabbing us, choking us out, strangling us, immobilizing us, you know, overtaking us. Concern, be concerned about something, moves us to action, okay? We're not stuck in a rut where we just, like, cannot do anything. You know, we're stuck and we can't get out of it. Concern moves us to action. Take care of it. Get out of the worriness, be concerned, and move it to action. Let's turn to Proverbs 12:25, first of all. Let's see what Scripture says, what worry does to us. Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of the man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh stoop. Worriness. When you worry, that heaviness, it wears you down. It brings you down. Scripture's clear here that this is what it does to you. You know, and we could all relate in some sense where bad, not good. You know, but a good word maketh it glad. Number one was, what is worry? Number two is, what do people worry about? Now, this is subject to whatever comes across you. I have some jotted things down, and you can also think of some. Employment. Many of us, what is next? We're in a job, what do we do next? Or what job is next for us if we don't have a job? How about death? If we're a Christian, we should not be worried about death because we know we have peace in God, knowing where we're going. You know? But some people may worry about the death, not having the hope of knowing where their eternal life is headed. How about health? A lot of us worry about health. Personal relationships. I got in parentheses me, and I'll share you my story in a little bit. Personal relationships, we worry about things like this. How about those of you who are people pleasers? You never want to say no. I worry about telling people no. I can't say no. I worry about it. I'm just going to go along with it and deal with all the worry and anxiety I have to do afterwards because I just want to please people. How about this one? Witnessing. Anybody ever been worried about witnessing? Oh no, I don't know what to say. We worry. We allow it to overtake us. You know, God's word says be ready to give an account. Be ready to give an answer. Know what you believe. Don't worry about it. Number three, what advice does the world give us about worrying, concerning worry? And as you'll see some of these, this is a place without God. all these things that I'm about to mention. What advice does the world give us concerning worry? It may never happen to you. Don't worry about it. Get control of yourself. You're in charge. Be happy. Laugh your troubles away. I knew someone who said, laugh or cry, that's how I go through my life. I'm just going to laugh about it. I'm going to always choose to laugh about it. Or I don't want to cry. Well, it's sad because we're just burying our head in the sands. We're just laughing about something that we don't want to be concerned about and move to action. We don't want to handle it God's way. We just laugh it off. Be happy. Laugh your troubles away. Get busy. It will take your mind off it. Let's just consume our minds with something else. It's always going to be there, but we're not going to deal with it. We're just going to get busy. How about this one? This is sad. Have another drink. Take another pill. The world's way of looking at things. Turn to alcohol. I don't want to have to think about it. I don't have to worry. I'm just going to take more alcohol. How about this one? It's all going to be over soon. Don't worry about it. It'll all be over soon. That's not moving to action. That's not taking care of it. That's just ignoring it. These circumstances are just a cross you have to bear. Like you're just someone who has to deal with this. Apart from God, you're just, you have to take it. Grow up. Deal with it. None of these things talk about the hand of God, things to do with the scriptures. They're all just man and how they cope with things of worry. The story I'm about to tell you is close to my heart. Sorry. I worried a lot. Several years back, I worried a lot. When I said the personal relationship, I built a personal relationship with somebody, a guy, who I grew to love. And we did everything together. In this relationship, we got to know one another. We shared scriptures. We shared each other's thoughts. We prayed together. We became intertwined with one another. And in this relationship, became stronger, just enjoy to be around. And then something happened where, you know how you always agree, you get a best friend and you agree on a lot of things, and the things you don't agree with, you just don't talk about, you know. It's easy, right? Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. But really, you don't agree. Well, this is what happened to us. And this something came in our lives that was just, we disagreed on. We took different paths. We took different ideas on. And it brought me to a point where I went to scriptures and I fully understood where I stood. And I knew in my heart that I was just relying on God and the strength that He was going to give me to get me through this time of difference with my friend. And man, it took a long time. And this whole time that I was going through this, I worried. I worried about, this isn't right. Why can't we fix this? I lost sleep over it. The disquieted uneasiness of mind started overtaking me. My thoughts were not on anything that I was doing in front of me for a long time, because I just was being strangled, being choked. Worry was immobilizing me. I was immobilized, just functioning, going through day by day, and struggled with this. And man, I was looking up Bible verses just to try to get me through this, but I was also looking up Bible verses for the wrong reasons, to prove my point. To prove my point. We difference in an area, but in my heart I knew I was right with God. That's who I knew I was right with. But my eyes were on man and my approval of something to make it right. So I went to the scriptures, and as I was going to the scriptures, I went for the wrong reasons to prove myself. It didn't work. And over this long period of time, my relationship just broke down. You know, when you're have a personal relationship with somebody and it breaks down, and somehow your life is still intertwined and you have to walk in the same room as them. Before you even get to the room, what are you doing? You're already worrying. Oh no, I don't want to make eye contact with them. We all can relate. What am I going to say if I run into them? These are all things that dwell within our bodies, within our minds. What is our mind? I mean, Pastor, I just think of your Sunday school lesson. Where is my mind? Come on. It's just dwelling on the worry of how I can make it right personally. And so this happened over a 2.5 year period of time. And I'll tell you the end of my story at the very end. But let's get into what does the Bible say concerning worry. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Very familiar scripture here. Here Peter is giving advice to the young men and elders in the church. It comes up to verse 7, and he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You notice where he says, casting all your cares upon him? How many times do we read that verse, and we only give God some of our cares, ones that we think of ourselves as, I can handle this one, God. Oh, it's troublesome, it's worrisome, but I can handle it. I don't need to go to you because I can think of how many ways I can fix it. You know, we put trust in ourselves and only lean on God when what? Maybe we're strangled or choked to the point where we can't take it anymore. Well, here it's saying, casting all your cares. So I'm reminded of just the little things to give to God. And know that He knows us better than ourselves, and He's going to get us through these things. He doesn't want us, folks. He does not want us to be burdened with this care of hardship, aching in our hearts, our minds being wandered. He does not want us there. He wants us, what's He say? He says, bring them to me, all you heavy hearted, and I will give you rest. I will take care of you. The littlest things, He'll take care of us. And so many times we just look upon ourselves and say, I got it. I got this one, God. You get the next one. Why? Why do we give all our cares upon God? Verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be alert. Watch out, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around seeking from whom he may devour. Satan's just waiting for us. He's waiting for us to be weak, right? In those times of worrisome, where we're down and we're out, what things of the world enter our minds, and then we get apart from God. Satan wants us here. He wants us to be weak. He wants us to worry. Don't let him. Don't let him in. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He loves us, folks. He loves us. And he wants everything. He wants all our lives, all our cares to be at the foot of the cross. Okay, well, that's our first step, casting all our cares upon Him. Okay, it doesn't end there, does it? We just cast them on Him, and He's asked us to do more than that. That's our first step, cast our cares upon Him. Secondly, He wants us to trust Him. Cast them at His feet, and then walk away and trust. Turn with me to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, where he says, casting all your cares. Look what he says in 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord. How many times do we cast our burden upon him? How many times do we take it back? We don't trust him, do we? We just cast and take back. Cast and take back, just like a fishing pole. Put it out there, and we bring it back, don't we? It's easy. Because why? We're in control. We're not really trusting in God. God says here, trust in me with all your heart. Not just half-heartedly. Not just with a little bit. With all of it. With your lives. With your worries. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's a promise. He's going to direct us in a way that's going to be right. If we just rely on him in such a way where we remove ourselves from it, put God in, and wait for him. Trust him enough to know that he's going to get you through it. Not in your timing, not in my timing, in his timing. And realize that it's for our own good. We just trust him, and he's got us in here for a reason. You know, he wants to sharpen us. Pastor gave me a online Bible. It's got some cross references. So this is cool to me. So I always wonder how pastors knew how to go from scripture to scripture without that. So they got cheat sheets. Turn over to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. We're going to start in verse 5, and it's going to lead up to verse 8, where we want to get. But look at this. David here, in verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock. Okay, look, not us. He is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my salvation and my refuge is in God. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, folks, all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is your refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart to him. Love him. Build a relationship with him, that you have that. You're just not on your own. You're not out there wandering around in the desert by yourself. Trust him. He loves you. He says, pour your heart out to him. Get to know him. Get to know how he works. Understand when you pour your heart out in him, watch how he's going to work. Know how he's going to work. Understand that. And the only way you're going to know that is in trusting in him and getting to know how he's going to work is digging into his word, seeing where he's going to lead you. So many times we have a roadmap mapped out for ourselves and just, we got it. And God's just going to come alongside of us. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him and he's going to give you rest. He's that safe haven for us. Let's look in the life of Daniel. Let's look how Daniel dealt with some worries in his life. Daniel chapter 6. He's incredible. He is incredible. The life of Daniel and how he dealt with worry. Verses 1 through 9. I'm not going to read 1 through 9, and we're going to start off at verse 10. But just give you some background about Daniel. And verses 1 through 9 just talk about the rise and power of how he became favored in King Darius and how the other officials all around him were jealous. They were jealous that he was looked upon from the King Darius as such a honorable man. You know? Why was he honorable? He was a man of God. You know? King Darius, not being a Christian, just saw the fruits of God, just saw him being different, set apart, and honorable. So these other men, they tried to find fault with Daniel, these other leaders. They were jealous of him. And since they were unable to find fault in him, they decided to attack his faith. Knowing that he prayed three times a day, they approached King Darius and started plotting against him. How would you like to have friends like that? And they asked the king, this is 1 through 9, they asked the king to write a law, not knowing that King Darius knew what was going on, blindsiding him, saying, man, we want to take out David. We're going to go after him. We're going to have this, our king, be the only true God that we're just going to pray to, you know, and no one else is going to pray to any other God. So they just had King Darius write this law. And he went along with it. Whoa, that sounds like a good idea. And they made this law for 30 days to pray to who? The king only. Well, let's find out a little bit about David. Not David, Daniel. Let's pick it up in verse 10. And we'll go through 23. These are a lot of verses. And excuse me if I get tongue-tied. 10 through 23. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house, and in his windows, being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, thou shalt be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. This law cannot be changed. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel which is of the king of the captivity of Judah regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree nor thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might be not changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went before from him. Then the king arose very early the next morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent an angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Verse 23. Then the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that thou should take Daniel up out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Let's see some Daniel's response. First we see, let's go back to verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and in his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before, as he did before. We see in the time when he could have been overtaken with worry, he went right back to what he had continued to pray about and he had always done. What did he know about God? He knew that God was true.
And knew that God, somehow, some way, he didn't know the outcome here. He had no idea whether he was going to be eaten alive. But what did he do? He went back. He trusted in God. He says, I'm going to go back, leave this place, knowing that my life is on the line. And he sat there and he says, I will go back. And not only will I go back and pray, I will not hide myself. I will not go in a corner and try to be discreet about this. He left it in the open. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of who I believe in. I will stand there before God and answer to whatever the consequences is. You know, he opened up his windows and he prayed, knowing that these people were going to see him. Wow. Where are we, folks? You know, where are we in our own lives when it comes to worry? This guy's life was in jeopardy. A law was signed that if anyone does not pray to the king and to pray to your own God, that this ultimately is death. Daniel didn't know the outcome here. Let's face it, what about our own lives? Where are we? Picture myself here. I'm being told this. Do I have enough trust in God that I can just walk out and do the things I've always done and just completely just turn my complete faith in God, my trust in God? Or am I just going to start worrying? Am I going to start being consumed with what if? What if? How many of us put ourselves in those positions? We instantly take it upon ourselves. Our lives aren't in line. We're not walking out of here with a den of lions, with cops taking us away to jail. But yet, he's being dealt with this. Wrongfully, these people went after him. They're enemies of him. They're enemies of God. And they've sought after his life to take his life. And yet, what'd he do? Knowing this, he says, I will pray to my God like I always do. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm going to trust in God. Take something from that. We need to take something when worry comes in our lives. Go back to God like we've done before, the things of our lives. You've seen how God worked in the past. Like we talked about spiritual markers. Know how he's going to work in this situation. Get to know your God and who he is. Know how he's going to work. He's going to love you. If you trust him, he will take care of you. Not knowing your outcome, just like Daniel did. He did not know the outcome, but he knew who God was. And that's who he trusted in. He's not going to change. Life lesson there. And now we see where Daniel is, right? We see where Daniel just completely put his faith and trust in God in time of worry. Let's go to verse 14. And let's look at the response of the king. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. What did he start doing? Instantly. Worry. He became overcome with worry. Look at the contrast between him and Daniel. Daniel just completely looked in God. We don't know what Daniel, if he had worry, scripture doesn't say that, but we know that he went right to God. Where did King Darius go? Within himself. What do we do? Come in and saw ourselves. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to get through it? And there he sat, you know, mad at himself for making a law because he loved Daniel. He loved this guy. He put a lot of, you know, hope in this guy, a lot of trust in this guy to take care of things for him, you know. And because he was so honorable, he was a godly man. And now he's written a law that has Daniel condemned to die, not knowing that God would take care of him. So he started worrying within. Folks, we do this a lot. We just take control and we worry ourselves. And we lose sleep. Remember what worry does. It wears you down. It wears you down. Well, we're going to find out that King Darius was worn down. He was worn out. Why? Because he was coming from within his own heart. Couldn't do it by himself. Verse 18, go down to verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. As the night was passing, what do you think he was doing? Worrying. Not eating, couldn't sleep. We have fallen into these categories when we get to this point in our own lives where we're consumed with things. We become ill, become weary, become weak. We can't sleep. Here, his usual night, as what happens, what did Daniel do on every night consistently? Prayed. What did King Darius do? He says, neither were instruments of music brought before him. His normal activities that he had, which were worldly and things that pleased man, the normal things that he went about in his life, that he did every night, couldn't do. Couldn't do. You know, his heart was heavy. He tried to fix it. Couldn't fix it on his own. And he just became wearisome and burdened with this. Well, remember what worry does? It wears you down. Let's look at Daniel's life as we come about things in our own lives. And not knowing our outcomes and our own worrisome, know that we can cast all our cares upon God. And yes, go ahead, Winston. Amen. Put ourselves in a position where when worrisome comes or things come our way, to look at our God. Go back to the scriptures. Cast it upon Him. He wants you to cast it upon Him. He wants to take that upon Himself. He wants to give you rest. Find comfort in just knowing that. And when you do that, He will give you rest. It's a promise. It is a promise. And He will give you peace that passes everything else, that doesn't come from your own selfish desires, your own selfish ways of figuring things out. I was talking to Pastor Hallett earlier, and the emptiness that the world has, they don't have what we have. We have that, folks. We're Christians. We have God. Let's cast our cares upon Him. Let's trust in Him. Let's know that we don't have to have our own roadmap set out before our own lives and figure it all out ourselves. Wait upon Him, and He will direct our paths. And I want to just finish my story. What got me through the worrisome time of trying to fix it with my friend? Like I said, I was in it. I was hurt. Hurt turned to anger. Anger turns to discouragement. And you just get wallowed up in that downward spiral. So as a Christian, I knew that I could turn to God's Word. And when I was still continually doing it with the wrong heart. Going after God's Word for selfish reasons to prove myself. You know, Daniel could have done that. You know, he just turned to God and he just trusted in God. He had done nothing wrong. And before this, it was wrong what they did to him. Wrong, people. Wrong. Grasp what they did to him. They set him up for the sole sake of taking his life. Well, I was just hurt. So, what brought me through this? 2.5 years. 2.5 years. I dealt with this. This heavy heart. And when I learned that I had to get my eyes off of people and onto God, when I opened the scriptures up and I didn't look at it as alternative motive, saying, I got you. I got you. God wasn't speaking to me then because I was seeking things on my own pleasure. When I learned to open up the scriptures and seek what God wanted for my life, what a change. I finally got it. And the song that came to my heart was, change my heart. Change my heart. Change your heart. Get your eyes off your circumstances. Change your heart. Get them off the things of this world. Get them off the worries that just so overcome you. Put them on God. He loves you. He wants to take care of you. And when I said change my heart, when I really got it, when I can sing that song, and I fully understood the meaning of it, mold me and make me, allow God to mold you, allow God to make you. He will. He wants to. You have to allow Him. But you have to change your heart. You have to get it off your circumstances. You have to get it off your trials and put it on Him and trust Him. Trust Him. And when I got that, dude, I got it. I understood it. I wasn't forever changed in a way that it was just, you know, beyond comprehension. I just completely understood God from another angle and just relied on Him for saying, get my eyes off myself, get my eyes off of people. Doesn't matter what the scriptures say. And when I got that, God changed my life. And I told myself, God, thank you. He sharpened me. Thank you for the trial that you brought me through. It wasn't easy. When we go through life, these things aren't easy, are they? No. We've all been worn down. But Lord, thank you, because you taught me something. You taught me something. You taught me not to please people. You taught me to get my eyes off of people and put them on you. And Lord, He is awesome. And I want to leave you with this. It's an exercise that I was challenged with. When we trust in God, when we cast all our cares upon God, and we trust in Him, we need to ask ourselves, I can say it. I said it for years. I said, I trust God. I put my faith in Him in this situation. But I really wasn't, because I could prove it. Someone proved it to me. And this is an exercise that helped me, and I just want to challenge you as believers, if you struggle with things like this, to take this exercise and practice it. When we say we cast all our cares upon Him, right? Here's our problem. Here's our problem that we have, our burden that we're carrying. We're overburdened with it. Okay? Jesus says, cast all our cares upon Him. Here He is. Okay? What do? We take it, and we put it here. And we've casted it, and we put it on there. Now, I was asked, do I trust Him? Well, yeah, I trust Him. I do. I do trust Him. But how much do I trust Him? Remember it says in Psalm 62, talks about trust Him all the time. All the time, trust Him. Well, I trust Him when I prayed, right? That's when I trusted Him. Okay. 5 minutes later, guess what? I have it. I have it. I've taken this. Lord, I can't do it anymore. I trust You. 5 minutes later, I took it upon myself. I was consumed. I was overwhelmed with it. Trying to fix it. What did I just do? I didn't trust Him completely with all my heart. I did no such thing. I trusted Him for what? 5 minutes? I've been 2.5 years trying to deal with this thing. I still haven't conquered it. Who was I to think I could handle it? But this is the exercise. I trusted Him. And then, I want to make this line short. Here's what we do, folks. We put our burden there. How long before we take it back? Let's make a short line. Okay? That's just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour. We have it back. Our mind is consumed with it, right? So guess what? We've taken it back. We've got this far away from, that's how far we trusted God. We bring it back. We continue to go back to God. Bring it back to Him. And then next time, folks, here we are. And then it may take you several steps. You may get it. You may fully understand it. It took me 2.5 years. But the exercise here is challenge, watch yourself. When you fully give something to God, watch how quickly you will pick it up. When you trust Him, leave it there. When I fully kept getting further away from the cross and saying, I asked myself, wow, I didn't trust Him very long, did I? I caught myself. And then I gave it back to Him and I got here. And then I gave it back to Him and I got here. And it was a short time in a process where I kept reminding myself, here I am, Gary, consumed with it again. But you know what, folks? Each time I got farther and farther away from it. Why? Because I fully relied on God to take care of it. That's what He means by trust Him. Trust Him. That's what He means. Take our burdens here and leave it. Now, this is our exercise. This is sometimes what we do, you know. But I challenge us each time to get further away from the cross. Lay it there. And if you grab it, recognize what you've done and bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back until you fully can get to the point where say, I did. Wow. I was free. I was relieved. I was overjoyed. I was excited. I cried. Why? because I didn't have to carry that anymore. I fully got it. I understood God's word. Trust Him completely. My challenge is to you as well. Trust in God in everything you do. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank You for Your word. Lord, as Pastor has said many times, as we dive in Your scriptures, it is alive. Lord, thank You for the truths that You speak. Lord, thank You for the promises that You give us, Lord, that when we fully trust You, there is peace. There is understanding, Lord, that knowing that You will direct our paths. Lord, help us to be a humble people. Lord, not be a proudful person, thinking we can do it, and part-time us, part-time You. Understand this, Lord. Lord, I just pray as we go from Your house, Lord, that we will be a changed heart, person that relies on You in everything we do. Encourage us, Lord, throughout our weeks. In Your name we pray. Amen.